Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Gathered together with us, the celebration of the kingdom of God on a Sunday morning. One of the church fathers says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Our constant challenge as Orthodox Christians is to draw close to God. Drawing close to God expresses our love for God, and as we do this, the Lord extends his loving, open arms to us. As recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As Christians, we respond to this call from God to come unto him. We respond and continually seek after him to find rest in him. And life consists in the search for God, who is already in search of us. At the beginning of the story of Scripture, we hear of God going in search of Adam in paradise and calling to him, Adam, where are you? And he asks that not because he doesn't know where Adam is, but to call Adam to come to him. And this is what the God who is in search of us is always doing. And Scripture goes on to tell us that God is constantly in search of man. Isaiah says that God stretches out his hands all day long to a rebellious people. And by this, the prophet Isaiah means God is always calling us back to himself. And with surprise, Isaiah says, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. For I said, here I am, here I am. So the God of the Scriptures is the God who is ever revealing himself to human beings. He reveals himself to us in order to evoke or awaken a response within us, a response to his invitation to draw close to him. And David the prophet captures the pathos of this moment, saying, as a deer longs for fountains of water, so my soul longs for God. My soul thirsts for God, the mighty, the living. When shall I come and behold the face of God? And in chapter 15 of the Gospel according to Luke, there's a series of similitudes or comparisons used to describe how God is constantly in search of man. And the first one of these is the Good Shepherd who goes in search of that one lost sheep. And the second is the woman who lights a candle and searches diligently for the lost piece of silver. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors to come and rejoice together with her. So the stories introduced to us in that same chapter, they introduce for us the more dramatic story of the parable of the prodigal son. As we turn back to the father, we find him already watching and waiting for our return. And the father abandons every sign of his paternal dignity, and he races towards us. He races towards us to embrace us and to lead us in, to restore us to sonship and to lead us into a banquet of thanksgiving. And this story communicates to us who have finally come to our senses and return to him the message of a loving God who is ready to forgive our senseless idiocy and to join us to himself. And this, in turn, is the message that we have to share with the entire world around us. But God does not stop here. He pursues us to make us sons and heirs of His kingdom. And for this reason, we call out to Him in prayer, as Jesus has taught us, and say the words, Our Father. In the gospel passage for today, we hear about the rich man and Lazarus. The evangelist tells us that when the beggar dies, he is upborne by angels to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man dies and is buried. Death finds both of them. But that's not the end of the story. Let us reflect on the fact that Luke says that the angels carry him to Abraham's bosom. Recently we had a visit in Dallas from an Orthodox biblical scholar from Moscow who shared with us quite a bit, about 10 days ago, on this theme of Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Now we know that the rich man who exalted himself over his neighbor, who looked down on his neighbor, is now very beloved. And Lazarus, who received compassion only from dogs, is upborne by angels. So these spatial dimensions of this story tell us something about the fate or well-being of these two men. In the Gospel according to John, we learn that the beloved disciple reclines at table against the bosom of the Lord. No one else is awarded such proximity, such closeness, such ability to approach our Lord Jesus Christ in the story of the Gospel. Only the beloved disciple. And the evangelist Luke consistently uses the setting of a feast, banquet, wedding, to describe the delight and honor that will be given to God's righteous ones. Jesus says that when you are invited to a feast, don't sit down at the chief place, because someone else will come in, someone else in more honor, and you in shame will go take the lowest place. And by taking that higher place, you end up filled with shame. And a bystander replies to Jesus, saying, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And when the prodigal son returns, a feast is held to express the joy of his return or his repentance, his union with God. And in fact, the entire story of Scripture climaxes with a feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb, as described in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage feast of the Lamb. But not everyone will delight in the wedding feast of the Lamb. For in the Gospel, Jesus reproaches others, saying, There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. For others will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and set down in the kingdom of God. These others are those who, like Lazarus, seek after God, to know Him, to commune with Him, and to delight in Him. In all of Scripture, there is no greater host than Abraham, who at the Oak of Mamre entertains three strangers. Abraham races to wash their feet and to refresh them at table. Abraham addresses them as Lord, and Scripture tells us how the Lord there at the Oak of Mamre announces to Abraham and to Sarah the birth of their son. And furthermore, the Lord tells Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham offers hospitality to strangers with his whole heart, while the heart of that rich man in the parable is turned to stone and scorns his neighbor. Abraham becomes the heir of promises, while the second, who offers not a mortal morsel of bread, lifts up his eyes to Abraham, who stands afar off. And he asks Abraham to send someone to send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water so that his thirst, which he experiences from his flames, will be quenched. The rich man knows that he will not enter into the banquet because he has failed to offer a morsel of bread to his neighbor. Lazarus waits for the consolation of faith, like faithful Abraham. Lazarus enjoys the hospitality of Abraham, which is the name that we give to that icon that represents the revelation of God to Abraham. Lazarus leans against the bosom of Abraham as the beloved disciple reclines against the bosom of the Master at the mystical supper. And this is a description of how people actually ate at a banquet in the first century Palestine. The God who comes in search of human beings comes to invite us to delight in him. He invites us to a banquet. A banquet that begins now and has no end. He comes to draw us ever more closely to himself. He approaches us so as to unite us with himself. And he seeks us not only as individuals, but he seeks us as a community. He's come to make us his body. And he has destroyed on the cross, in his own flesh, the division that separates us one from another, and that separates us from him. He unites us as his body to grow into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom, as the apostle says, we also are being built together for a holy dwelling place of God. God, come and abide in us and amongst us and unite us and be the head of his body. And John describes the new creation in the book of Revelation saying, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. For the Lord comes to abide in us. He will unite us to himself so that we may delight together, inseparably with him and inseparably with one another. Lazarus is refreshed, and we long for that same refreshment. Lazarus keeps the eternal Sabbath rest in the bosom of Abraham. And Scripture offers us the promise of hospitality in God's kingdom. And today we are gathered to partake of this same hospitality through being filled with the body and blood of our God who offers himself as food for us. Seek after God and your soul shall live. As we stumble in the darkness of this world, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, comes in search of us, to find us, to make us fellow heirs of his kingdom that has no end. To our merciful God, who desires us and seeks us, to him, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all glory unto the ages.
Amen. Amen.